Blog Talk Radio.
I am Christopher Columbus. Just call me Chris. I am he who did miss the land, India. I thought I'd discover that which was never. How clever of me to see the land beyond. I came to tame and claim in the name of Spain. I am Chris. Don't diss my history. I inspired Hawkins, Livingston, Mussolini, Botha, Bush. I exterminated, perpetuated hatred against red men, yellow men. With black men I make no friend. I attack Arawak, cut off their head, wrote instead that the Caribs ate them like bread. I never told you this before, but my chief navigator was a Moor. You know the Moors, they discovered Spain, those blacks who came from the African terrain. The idea that the world was round, I got from these same blacks in some little Spanish town. Now you may ask, what was blacks doing there? But they ruled us for over 700 years. They made a great mistake then. Instead of enslaving us, they made us their friends. Some survived, stayed alive, fought the invasion, European division, English aggression, the fight between Europe and European expansion. I wrote your history for you. Did not tell you true. Not all black men came as slaves. Listen. You will know the truth in the waves that brought the ships. Lips lie to keep intact oppression of black skin. A sin, a myth. I am Chris. The church perched on the opportunity to spread the religion of the dead. True misconception, the assumption that this world was new. The wind blew us to save the earth from beasts like men. Friend, I am not. Blocked out the spots who claim they are men like us. I am Christopher Columbus. I gave Europe power over all the earth. 500 years of your blood, sweat and tears. Now you celebrate. Recreate your death. Let the glasses touch with the blood of your fathers and mothers. Give a toast. Oath my arrival. Your dying, my survival. The land is still mine. The Pope is still the divine. Yes. Drink your own blood, call it wine. Nothing in the pages of my history will blot out your misery. You shall celebrate my victory. Your children praise me. I am their only history. I am Christopher Columbus. I died, but you made me live. Give me the sea once more. Let me discover you again. The stain, my father's son's rule. Fool, you celebrate my coming. I will not go, not from your mind. Restore me for all to see. Keepers of life, shepherds of my people, lead them to the altar of life. Your ancestors' cries will not be heard. Word after word, pages of history written, the victims are once more bitten. 1492, to you, the beginning of Western world democracy. 1492, to me, the beginning of white supremacy.
Greetings and welcome to the Chef Rob Show. I'm your host, Chef Rob, here at Blog Talk Radio with my buddy, Kavina Man. Kavina Man, you here? Chef Rob.
Yeah, I'm here. What's happening, Chef Rob?
Yeah, man, yeah. You hear that piece, man?
Yeah, I was listening to it, man. That's pretty good. Who was
it? Yeah, because I was also thinking about this whole lie on Monday, you know, Christopher Columbus Day, celebration of a mass murderer. And all the other mass murderers that the Americans love to go ahead and portray. But Christopher Columbus was the worst. Well, I can't say he was the worst, but he's up there. But he's got so much recognition and based on so many lies. I mean, I can't say he's the worst.
Yeah, he was I guess, one of the founder members of the whole white supremacy movement.
Right. Right, because I was trying to deal with that. I found a bunch of stuff on him going ahead, and he was nowhere near what these people portray him as. He was a mass murderer. I saw something where one of the, there were a lot of people who rode with him on his voyages coming over here because he was basically looking for gold. He came over here and he was basically, he was terrorizing the people that were here. He was snatching babies out of the arms of mothers of Indians that were here and slamming and bashing their heads up against rocks. And at some points he was also going ahead and his crew would come on through and they would, capture the village, go ahead and surround the whatever little town, the little village. And they tell, one instance, man, I'm trying to find a story. And it's talking about these guys would surround the village, go ahead and capture the people. And what they would do was go ahead and tell them to go out and find gold. And they kidnap their kids. And when they get back, they say, hey, look, you know, you're going to find gold, we're going ahead and let you get your kids back. When they come back, a lot of times, all the kids was all dead. This was Christopher Columbus, man. Christopher Columbus, a fucking mass murderer. Pathetic.
Yeah, man. That's white folks for you, man.
Yeah, man. but here's the crazier part about it. Black people ain't standing up and saying shit, and they going right along with it.
Yeah. I know that out here in California, they kind of got rid of that holiday. It's a federal holiday, but it's not a state holiday. I think some people have recognized it. They call it an Indigenous Day or something else. But
mm-hmm.
You know, they're recognizing that all the atrocities associated with Christopher Columbus, you know, and they're adjusting accordingly.
Just, yeah, because he also brought, like, because these fuckers were really nasty and dirty. You know, they can go ahead and talk about anybody else, but some of the STDs that they brought, man, you know, the syphilis, gonorrhea, was killer back then. And his crew was the biggest one to go ahead and bring in that shit.
Yeah.
He was portrayed as a fucking hero. And something that really, really, really bothers me is the Italians want to go ahead and go at the indigenous population and go ahead and tell them they need to shut the fuck up. Hey, look, he was their hero. But it's not no real, nothing to really say that he was a real Italian. Because they say he was Jewish, you know, so, you know, well, he's still European, but it's still a problem with him. And Christopher Columbus, in his quest for gold, Christopher sees bits of gold amongst the Indians, concluded that there were huge amounts of it. He ordered the natives to find amounts of gold within a certain period of time. If they met their quota, their arms were, if they didn't meet their quota, their arms were chopped off. See, he had his soldiers go ahead and stabbing the Indians for sport, bashing the babies' heads on rocks. Any Indian resistance was go ahead and met with just they just did them, just took care of them. They ran them down. It's hard to read this shit, man. Man, they used the dogs to go ahead and run them, just run them till they dropped. They had them horse pulling them, man. They just did a bunch of hard stuff. And this is stuff, man, I'm going to put this in my chat room. This is stuff that came out, man, from eyewitness accounts from these guys that was part of the crew.
Yeah.
So, you know, Christopher Columbus was a serious mass murderer. It wasn't shit. We should go ahead and stop going ahead and dealing with that. I kind of agree with that idea, Indigenous Day, because when you go ahead and you look at a lot of the Indian groups, they have some direct ties to Africa anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I know that some of the same things that Christopher Columbus did, you know, was replicated around the globe. So, like, as Europeans went to, you know, the Australia, New Zealand area, the South Pacific, you know, they went to parts of Africa. It's all, like, the same. It's the same thing.
They same bring thing in their,
yeah, they bring in that same brutality and you know, conquered whatever indigenous people and their lands, took their resources,
but,
took
but
the people,
this is
enslave and rape them.
Here's the problem that I got. How can you go ahead, and once you know some of this, can you see? But you see how people continue to go ahead and treat them like they love them like they are saviors, that they want to go ahead and get. But I don't get it. How you find, once you find out about these motherfuckers, you go ahead and turn your back on all that real history, and the line that I can't stand is it's time to forgive and forget. How can you do that? What would go ahead and cause a person to go ahead and forget all of that and go ahead and embrace a person who treats you like shit?
Yeah, as your boy, what's his name, that guy you always play off, can't even think of his name right now.
Jesse Lee Peterson.
He's a Jesse Lee Peterson all over the globe and all over the place. And they think, oh, it was just a hiccup. That they're glad it happened so that, you know, now they can be in, you know, and they can have their iPhones or they can have their, you know, DirecTV or whatever it is.
The latest electronics. You know, I got a real big problem with that whole thing. Brother, you still there? Okay, I think that brother kind of dropped off. My biggest problem is, how do you embrace somebody who treats you like shit? I just don't get that whole thing.
The Indian resistance was greeted with a strong brutality. That's all over the globe. Right?
Yo, brother, you dropped off.
Population. Yeah, there's populations all over the world. They specifically, genetically eliminated.
You know, I want you to finish that up. But again, how do you go ahead? How can I can't accept our people going ahead and embracing these fuckers like, you know, oh, well, you know, and then trying to be like them. You know, like, oh, that happened a long time ago. They didn't convince you to go ahead that they didn't beat the fuck out your grandmother. That this dude's grandfather beat the shit out your grandmother and raped her. And now we got to go ahead and embrace him and be nice to him. When at the same time, what he did was he raped your grandmother and go ahead and killed your grandfather and then took your grandfather's land and go ahead and put his name attached to it and then slowly go ahead and kept on raping your grandmother. He didn't even go ahead and bring her into the house with you. Just go ahead and treat her like shit. And I don't get that. You there, brother? Hello?
Yeah, brother,
I was there.
You went kind of
silent for me on the moment, man.
Oh, I was listening, and all of a sudden it just went silent. I was saying hello. You didn't hear me?
I only heard you that one time, man. I was going to check that out and see what's.
Yeah,
I was saying, how can you go ahead and accept that? You know, and then you go ahead, you accept them as being, you know, like I said, you know, they go ahead and they kill your grandfather, then they rape your grandmother, take your grandfather's land, and tell your grandmother she got to keep working on it while she go ahead and while your grandmother's pregnant with your mother,
yeah,
and work on the farm and work her damn near to death.
Exactly.
On the same farm that your grandfather owned. How do you embrace these people like that? That part I do not get. I don't understand why black folks go that route.
Yeah, I think where black folks have begun to, I think how I see it is you would have the white folks that are, say, the brutal white folks, and then you would have the white folks who would say, oh, that's not acceptable. And so I think people would naturally gravitate toward the people who's like, okay, that's not acceptable, and then you befriend them, or they befriend each other, or somehow you get into a workable situation, and you begin to see, oh, this white person is not like the other one. Like, you know, you begin to say, okay, this white person over here will rape me and kill me. This other white person over here, they'll give me charity or whatever, or they'll just treat me, I don't know, more just than the other one. So you begin to gravitate towards, okay, I'll accept living with the more kinder, gentler white person. And I think that's how white, black folks or whatever indigenous people have begun to accept, you know, white people. So I think that how the most brutal white folks do is they'll just say, okay, we'll just stay back, stay back out of the way, let the more kinder white folks lure the indigenous people into thinking everything is okay and in the past and forgive and forget. And then it was generations past, then people will be like, oh, okay, that was a previous generation. Now, those brutal white folks never really went away. They just let the other white folks kind of deal with the indigenous people or the people that have been ran over. So they came into an arrangement. So you're able to live with some white folks and other white folks you despise. And it was like, they're okay with that. I'll say, okay, there's people that you might despise them, but that's the people in power. So they'll just say, okay, it's sort of a way of adjusting to the rape, I guess, adjusting to the brutality or whatever from those people is you just give them an acceptable face that they can work with, and then sooner or later they'll just forget the whole thing. I think that's where we are. Pretty much, if you were to talk about Columbus, or you talk about slavery, or you talk about colonialism, and the average black person will be like, oh, that was so long ago. Why are you bringing it up? Why, that was such and such. And, you know, we moved on from that, and the average white person will say the same thing. So now those people who hold to the remembrance of their ancestors and all the things that the white folks did to them, they're looked at as a race baiter or an extremist.
You know, check this out. Now, this is the thing. Now, when you hear that, you know, it happened so long ago, but shit, if you really want to go ahead and look at it, fuck that. Holocaust happened so fucking long ago, you can go ahead and keep bringing that bullshit up.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to go ahead and play that goddamn game, and then the Holocaust, the so-called U.S. Holocaust, was nothing like the African Holocaust, and the African Holocaust lasted a lot longer. So, you know, let's not go ahead and play that fucking word game. Then you go ahead and you look at this. The individuals who were profiting off of slavery, their descendants are still going ahead living beneficial and good lives today. That's something that's overlooked there. That's something that nobody really pays attention to. They think these people didn't go ahead and work hard. They lied hard.
No. Yeah.
They lied hard. Yeah, they lied. They're still lying to this day. A lot of people work hard to do this. You know, well, you had slaves, motherfucker. Your people that came to this country and had slaves. People working for free. Oh, you know, they full of shit when they go ahead and bring that stuff up.
Exactly. And I always, you know, when I'm talking to black conservatives or, you know, white conservatives, I really don't like talking to white folks that much. But when I do talk to them, I like to bring up, you know, the whole Homestead Act.
And yeah.
Right. So I try to remind them, you know, they grow up watching Little House on the Prairie and so on and so forth. You're like, yeah, it was good old days of TV and whatever. You know, so, you know, get them thinking, yeah, that was a good old day. But see, black folks never had the House on the Prairie because that was totally reserved for white folks. They got free prairie land. And you was going to go over there and build your house on the prairie for free. and the federal government would protect you from the Indians and from, you know, stagecoach robbers or whatever. And that was part of the deal. Europeans come over here and they can sell down in the prairie. Black folks never got that prairie. They never got the house on the prairie. So those same people who grow up nowadays, they're in the places identified as red state America, the breadbasket and whatever. That's all land that was just given to white folks for free. They didn't have to buy that land. They just went out there and settled, and they passed it on. All those little towns in America.
You missing something. What happened was, I'm trying to play that clip, you know, as Martin Luther King was talking about, he was breaking it down on how they were going ahead, how America was going ahead and getting the peasants, the poor folks out of off the European streets, the broke ones, and going ahead and sponsoring their trips and bringing them to America, giving them land, giving them the equipment, giving them the education, and giving them money to go ahead and run their farms here in America. And then Martin Luther King said, these are the same people telling you that you need to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You pull yourself up by your bootstraps and you can make it in America. Hold on, black folks didn't have all that shit. Plus, what they did, what the government, the U.S., that's what the Indian War was all about. It wasn't because the Indians were savages. When you pay attention to any of these damn movies or their ideology, they're trying to tell you that, hey, look, the Indians were just pissed off, angry people. And don't tell you that, hey, look, these people were being forced off their land and their way of life being crushed. They don't tell you shit about that.
No. The only thing they tell you is that the bad guys were black and the good guys were white. But they don't tell you, but they're all, the white and the black, you know, hat wearing dudes, were all killing the Indians. So they never tell you that.
Yeah, we never get into that. We never get into that part. That part is always seems to be overlooked. But Dr. Clark was saying this. He was talking about the Jews. The Jews would go ahead and how do you put it? They. I'm paraphrasing, but he's pretty much they capitalize on victimship. Okay, now I think that's about all Europeans. They go ahead and they capitalize on victimship, on how well they can go ahead and portray themselves as a victim. And you got too many black folks that go ahead and will accept that white people are victims. I just don't get it. I don't see it, how they can be victims to any goddamn things when they're always a perpetrator of the crimes. When you go ahead and you look at the majority of the wars on the planet, there's European involvement. As right now as we speak. The European involvement in almost every war, any one of these wars, and whether it's they got advisors or they're going ahead bringing band-aids, but the biggest thing is they bring in bullets. And they bring in bullets both goddamn sides. And I just don't get it why people ain't going ahead and saying nothing. And why we got black folks going ahead and saying they need to go bomb this motherfucker. They need to go bomb this shit. Hold on, you goddamn idiot. That's just like you going ahead and saying them young brothers is on the corner. We need to call the police on them. Instead of going ahead thinking that, hey, these young brothers might be standing over there trying to go ahead and harmonize and form a singing group. They ain't out there doing bad. So find something else for them young brothers to fucking do instead of going ahead and calling the police on them. Calling the police is the one that, to me, one of the last fucking things you need to be doing. Mr. Holison, are you there?
Yes, I am, brother.
How you doing, brother?
I'm fine. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Yeah, I got you. I'm sitting here like, oh, snap, chef's on. Like, oh, man. Because every time I miss you, like, usually, like, I get your text, like, when I'm waking up, I'm like, oh, damn, I missed the show. So
thanks,
I'm happy
brother,
to be
man.
Here.
I miss your shows, man. They were great. We got Covino Man on the other line also.
Who?
There was something, man, and this ties to it because this is like, I think this is something we should continue to do on the weekends, that generational report, because it was Covino Man's idea. Because it was, I replied to that Facebook page about should we continue to protest, march, and stuff like that. And I like what you were saying, how it just turned to that parade.
I think you were probably one of the only people there that got what I was actually saying. It's like, I'm not saying that we shouldn't do it.
Right.
What I'm saying is that it's now, it's as if we're going to use it by itself, it's just an ineffective tactic. It has to be a part of an overall strategy.
Right, right. And what I was saying was, and people, and a couple of people, even Kayla got kind of disagreed with me that we shouldn't do it in talking about social media. I said, man, it should be an all-out plan, because if you go here and pay attention to all these teabaggers and all these other fools out here, they ain't just using social media. They're getting out in the street. And
it has to be a combination of both.
Right. It has to be a combination of maybe all, maybe 20 different things, but it has to be done. And they go ahead and they march to a particular area. They rally at the area. They go ahead and promote their platform. Then they go ahead and they start whatever protest they go ahead and do. And like I was saying, they go ahead and get in front of these stores and protest by going ahead not purchasing the products in the area or purchasing all their brothers and sisters' products in the area. And I was trying to go ahead and make that point, and a few people didn't go ahead and understand what I was saying.
And I'll just back up what you're saying. In order for us to have a coordinated effort like that, we got to have an organized nation of people. We got to have an organization.
Right.
Because what
my
problem is, see, the problem is that there's a lot of people that, as far as the protest game goes, that's throwing some salt in the game. Jesse Jackson is one of them. He made his whole career off of the shakedown.
Right.
You get people whipped up, get them out there protesting, and then you go and cut a deal with the person you protesting against, and the next thing you know, the protest is over. See,
exactly.
This is why I don't like this stuff, these tactics absent organization, because what you get is a bunch of individuals out there doing their own thing and wasting the people's time and energy, and that's the biggest thing. The reason why people are so apathetic right now, because they've been sent down too many dark-ass alleys. And this is what I keep trying to tell people. It's like you keep, oh, man, when I think about the Million Man March, man, oh, my God. What a wasted opportunity, man.
But one of the biggest we've had in centuries.
And it'll
decades.
Never happen again. Trust me.
Mm-hmm.
Not like that. That first one with the energy and all of them brothers getting there, you cannot waste energy like that. You cannot let that type of energy be in one place at the same time and then squander the energy. Because what you did was you killed people's spirit when you do that.
And you look at how many people who have done that. Even with this, we did have close to that kind of energy with Trayvon. And I kept saying, and I kept sending messages out to people. I said, hey, man, do not let this energy, do not let all this support go to waste. You can do something with this. You got people. Ain't nobody rallying getting in the street about Trayvon right now. I said, but right now you can go ahead and do something. You can make a difference. You can go ahead and accomplish something with this. And you ain't had too many people go ahead and take advantage of what was going on out there. You could have rallied and recruited. That could have been some rally to recruit for the nation. But nobody really paid attention to that.
Yeah,
everybody wanted to go ahead
The problem with that, Rob, is that there is no organization that anybody can look to and say that this is the people that represent us as a people. So what you have is a bunch of individual organizations, a bunch of different people all scattered doing their own thing, and then what happens? It dissipates the whole movement. Because everybody got their own little thing that they're doing. Nobody can ever – like, I remember when – what was it? I remember feeling that after the I think it was what was that case before where people Katrina in New Orleans. I had people calling me up asking me what they should do because they wanted to do something, but there was nothing in place for them to put their energy in. And it was just so frustrating because I'm like sitting there going, God damn, if anything that could be the catalyst to form something, wouldn't it have been that? You know what I'm saying? Hello? Hello?
I hear you. No, I hear you. We hear you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's like the my biggest problem with the whole marching thing is this: it seems like become like a fetish in our community that we just feel like that is activism. That's like the be all and end all of activism. The fact that you got a sign and you went out and you walked, so now you can say, well, see, I was out there in those streets. It's like, come on, man. If we're going to do this thing, I'm playing to win. I don't like wasting time.
Yeah, there needs to be a tactic, a plan B, you know,
right.
Other than, you know, other than marching. Because, you know, there's a lot of things that marching, for me, it only serves a purpose to get people aware that there's about to be something. But if there's not about to be anything, then what's the point of the march?
Yeah, like that was said in the thread when I brought that up. They said, well, marching is to bring attention to the problem. And then I asked the question, well, once you bring attention to the problem, then what?
Yeah.
Okay, Trayvon Martin, there was a whole lot of attention. And Trayvon Martin is a good case example because Trayvon Martin movement didn't start out in the streets. It started online. Major mainstream media didn't even cover that. They didn't cover it until like maybe a month after it happened because the people on the blogs and on the internet media covered it. And it got a buzz, and then the mainstream media jumped in and covered it. That's how people even knew Trayvon Martin even happened. So that's what Rob was talking about. It has to be it can't be just one thing. It has to be a coordinated effort, multiple things.
Yeah, I think that you know, we were gonna try to go into the topic of like that generational difference in, you know, what happened, you know, 60s, 70s, you know, late 50s, whatever. That marching and protesting that was working for that generation. That generation was trying to, I guess, open doors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what they call it. They're going to want to open doors of opportunities to go to, you know, other universities, to jobs, and so on and so forth. And then through the 80s and the 90s, I think the Million Man March, that happened in the 90s. You know, I'm trying to remember, 95, 96, something like that.
Yeah.
That was in that era. And so that was almost like a, marching, almost paying respects to the earlier generation, but there was no follow up. It was no lead into, okay, we're developing a new leadership team, or we're developing, a new 5-point plan that we're trying to do. Anything or something that follows it up, and instead for the next generation, this generation is going to work on these point plans or whatever. There was nothing. It was just like show up. Show this dollar. There was an idea. Everybody hold up a dollar. But then, okay, now what? What's the next step? So it's almost we have a generation from, 2000s to 2013. It's still missing. Like you said, that Trayvon Martin, she could have been a wake-up. Katrina could have been a wake-up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, almost that over the weekend when people's EBT cards getting cut off, that could have been a wake-up. You know, whatever it is, but it's like there's nothing, there's no step right now, there's no organization, no leadership team. All the leadership really is looking backwards. Everybody practically is like in their 60s or 70s. Everybody's still looking to Charles Rangel for something. Everybody's still looking for you know, Jesse Jackson for something, or they're still looking at those old guards, people from the 70s and the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
There's, you know
well,
other than go ahead, bro.
I'll get right to the heart of the topic. My generation, and I've said this on multiple occasions, my generation dropped the ball. They just dropped the ball. Because what happened was in the 60s, that generation went out with the activism and fighting, you know. I mean, we can question it in retrospect, but it is what it is. They fought for integration and fought for the right for us to have equal rights and equal protection under the law and blah, 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 and this. And because of that, that's how we were able to integrate into the society and get the jobs and stuff and whatever. But the problem is, I think it's like the gift and the curse, because that actually caused this generation, my generation, who is what I consider the information generation. It's like a lot of information that we have access to, the generation before us didn't. Like, they didn't
right.
know a lot about African history and all this other stuff and all of this information that we have available to us now. So the problem is, how is it that this current generation, these youth today, are totally disconnected from culture? That means we didn't do what we were supposed to do. We didn't pass the knowledge to the next generation. Because my generation decided that the struggle was too hard, and which is kind of funny since they ain't never struggled. The people before them struggled. And if it wasn't too hard for them, how the hell are you going to say that it's too hard for you when you ain't did nothing?
Right.
You know, we didn't pass the knowledge on, so now we dealing with the results of that. We got a bunch of youth out here who are so disconnected from everything. It's like they rejected African consciousness, African history, culture, knowledge in general. It's just been rejected, and culture rejected. And that's the reason why there's a disconnect going on right now.
Yeah, man, I work with the youth, man, out here in California. And I think the youth out here in California, a lot of them are so racially mixed that
right.
They don't really identify like, oh, I'm African, you know,
right.
so on and so forth. Because at least, like, you know, I work with kids who are in the in institutions, you know, taken out of their family and put in an institution or whatever. And if you will look at the black population as an example, the ones I work with, half of them are mixed,
mm-hmm.
at least half. I rarely see a full black, dark black kid coming in the system. And if it is, it's like one out of four. So this generation growing up is a lot of it'd be difficult to like focus them on you're black. Is it they're black, they're white, they're Hispanic, they're, you know, there's a lot of things. Asian, Filipino, a lot of Filipino black mixture, you know. So we're dealing with it now. We're dealing with a generation that is literally confused about, you know, what race they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What happened to Rob? He got cut off?
I don't. Hello?
Yeah, I'm back now.
My last.
Oh, okay.
Somebody else is trying to get in.
I had a couple of glitches. I don't know. It did that to me yesterday, man. I don't know what's going on. But here's something
else. Somebody else is getting in.
Go ahead. Say it again.
Somebody else said hello.
Yeah, it's me.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Supreme.
Yeah. Yeah,
yes, brother.
So to you, host of it, and point, and that's the thing: accountability in 2013 from the black man, because it's your generation dropped the ball, and now for my generation, who just beneath you, who should try their best not to drop this ball now. You understand? And that's the thing: we need to.
He's breaking up again.
You understand?
Yeah, I'm going in and out. I can't really hear what he's saying.
He was breaking up last week, too.
Go on.
Hello?
He must be on the cell.
Yeah, he's international, so.
Oh, okay. He's calling internationally.
Yeah, he's out in the UK.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
You know, Mr. Holicism, let me ask you, go back to that thing because I got cut off
mm-hmm.
about that march and the stuff. And we were talking about that strategy. I didn't catch the last part of what you're saying. And I was trying to make a point where, hey, look, like the Tea Party individuals, they got mass media, they got their marches.
They're in the government, man. Like
they're in the government, and that's how they got in the government, okay? And they came out to some of these rallies and took over some of these things here. And the thing is when those people were going ahead and making their comments on Facebook, I just didn't get it. Why nobody saw the bigger picture. And everybody's pointing their finger and narrowing their views and not sort of looking at the bigger picture. You can't just go ahead and yell in your closet and think everybody's going to go ahead and hear you. You got to go ahead and put that, get on top of the roof and go ahead and do papers and pictures and might have to show your naked ass sometime. You got to let
but
people
you know one
head.
Thing I will say about the Tea Party, I ain't going to give them too much props only because they was backed by a bunch of billionaires.
And the billionaires saw what the go ahead and bringing this group together and going ahead and giving them that cohesiveness. That's something
right.
else we don't have no big dollar backers with us. We got these niggas that's going ahead and don't want to go ahead and do shit.
Yeah, I mean, if we had some donors that the Tea Party have on a level that they had, man, we'd be making noise too.
Yes.
Because it's going to take. They got their message out by money. They were bagged by money, and they were hijacked, and they were used for the people with the money's best, you know, interest.
Yes.
But that's how they were able to get the message out. And these guys they weren't just protesting; they actually have positions in the government. They're Tea Party congressmen, Tea Party senators. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I see where you, but if you look at politics, I think that in a certain way, black folks are a Tea Party. In this instance, like the Tea Party was used by the people who were in power, the Republicans, to try to get some power, to try and shut down the government or reduce taxes or reduce spending. Black folks are used the same way by white liberals who want to push homosexuality and other stuff like that. They rile us up and have us go out there and do all the protests so they can get in power, so they can get this gay rights out, they can get all this gay marriage and stuff. So we're kind of being used in the same way.
Right.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
You found that out when Trayvon Martin happened, because everybody across the board, gay, lesbians, Republicans, Democrats, whatever demographic you can think of, all was against Trayvon Martin.
Exactly.
All thought that he was a thug. So that just goes to show you, we don't have no friends.
Exactly.
The only people that's going to look out for our best interest is us.
And
that's
we're not doing a good job of that.
And right, because we work in the interest of other people.
Right.
And Chef, can you indulge me for just a second?
Go ahead.
Because I got to go on a little rant, not a long one. But I am so tired of these Negroes.
Hey, you got the floor. Go ahead.
I'm so tired of these.
Drink,
I'm going like.
I know alcohol needs to go ahead and heighten and lift the fat. Go ahead, brother.
I am so tired of these Negroes online attacking people like us, calling us fake nationalists and counterfeit nationalists. You know what's crazy about it?
Mm-hmm.
These same I'm trying to keep it clean.
No, be yourself, brother. Don't do that. You know me better than that.
These same motherfuckers.
There you go.
Who didn't do shit for our community, who we followed down a dark alley, because we went down the integrationist alley. We went down the inclusion alley. And what have we got to show for it?
There you go.
But yet they turn around and they want to put – now they say, oh, well, nobody's listening to the black national. Well, if nobody's listening to us, then take some fucking responsibility for the people listening to you. You can't have it both ways. You can't tell us because they want to criticize us and say, well, we the problem in the black community. If we are so insignificant, how are we the problem? When the vast majority of our people are going down your road, but yet you don't want to take responsibility for your fuck-ups and the situation that you got our people in right now, and now you want to attack us? I'm not having it.
There you go. See, I agree with that. Now, I'm trying to go ahead and look at it and talk about we need a plan, we need to do this, but they just go ahead and just sit around talking in circles and ain't doing a goddamn thing.
Yeah, because all they're going to do is attack the people. See, I know that one of the things, and I know this from experience, and I'm sure you do too, everybody always says, well, oh, I want to raise a strong black child and strong black men and women. Stop lying. Because when you get strong black men and women, you attack them. I've been a strong black man all of my life. Ain't nobody loving that shit. I get so tired when I hear that shit about, oh, well, I want my children to be strong black. Why don't you start supporting strong black men and women?
You're a threat.
You don't support us, but you'll support every clown out here who's using you so that they can put some money in their pocket. You support them, but yet we get attacked. And we don't even have to do the stuff that we're doing. We're doing it out of the love of our hearts because we damn sure ain't getting paid for it. We damn sure ain't getting no love for it. It's just that we're looking at the situation and we see it for what it is, and we know what needs to be done for the situation to get correct. And because we see that, we get attacked by our own people. We don't get no support from our own people. And yet I'm looking at, and I'm online, and these guys are raising up these people who are so irrelevant and just pure clowns. I'm getting so tired of hearing about Tommy Sotomayor. Who gives a fuck about Tommy Sotomayor?
Mm-hmm.
What the hell is he doing?
You know, the thing about Tommy, you know, I'm trying to figure out What's his point?
The point is to get as much attention. The shock jocks in New York, to Howard Stern, there's a whole bunch of shock jocks. Shock jocks' point is to get attention. That's it. Get attention. Get people listening to them. They don't have no point. There is no point. That is the point. Listen to me. Pay attention to me.
The whole thing about it, and I see him going, I see it this way. You know, he spent a lot of time at downing women, but most of the people who listen to him are women. So, to me, that says a lot about the women that's out here. Mm.
But women also listening to that fool Coca-Cola booth.
Oh, yeah, that's a fool.
But when you can't tell, like, this shows you how ridiculous a society we live in right now, how the state our culture is in. When you can't tell that somebody is off their meds and needs to be institutionalized, then what does it say about you? I mean, these people who actually following them, and like they leaders or something, and I'm sitting there going, oh, my God, man. And I'm sitting up here trying to put out videos talking about the situation, coming up with practical solutions. Ain't nobody paying attention to that. They want to hear what somebody, black men and black women, calling each other bitches and niggas and going back and forth about and going to war with each other. That's the thing that they support. So whenever I hear somebody talking about, we need to have more strong black men and women, that shit pisses me off. It's not a compliment.
Right,
our people don't support strong black men and women.
You
for your people, you're going to get pure, unadulterated hatred from your own.
Right.
Yeah, because the people who are, you know, the status quo in power, they are looking towards, you know, white daddy to give them jobs, to give them credibility, to give them acceptance. And so when they hear somebody who's strong, black, say something, it's almost like the Jesse Lee Petersons of the world. They gotta separate themselves from that. So even the so-called like civil rights community, they want to separate themselves from the quote radicals. They want to separate themselves from people who are like, you can't go out there and say, we're gonna protest this Korean market and we're gonna start our own black one. That would immediately get protests from civil rights organizations,
mm-hmm.
from MSNBC, from every, you know, Negro college professor they could put on TV. They're all going to speak out against black folks working together as black folks.
Brother, let me give you an example. This happened in the past. I'll give you the perfect example of what you're talking about. When the Koreans attacked this sister in the neighborhood in Brooklyn. This was back when David Dinkins was mayor. It was one of the few times where the black community responded exactly the way they should have. They didn't get violent with the Koreans. They boycotted and said, we're not going to purchase nothing from your store. They did exactly what you're supposed to do. And guess what happened? David Dinkins went down. He's the mayor with cameras. And went into the Korean grocery store and bought stuff and ate it right in front of the camera.
There you go.
What a coup!
And there you have. And there's the problem in a nutshell. Basically, spit in the whole face of our community. So now, so what is the message? The message is, I don't give a damn how much they disrespect you, nigga. You better go in that store and make those Koreans rich.
Exactly.
What's wrong with you?
And
this is the type of leaders. These are the people that we look into for change. There's no such thing as black leaders. Doesn't exist.
Right. That's who they put, you know, up front to be the spokesman, you know, on all the talking head shows. People who were support, whatever. It's like, want the gay rights people, let's get some black people up there and we'll get them to be the spokesman. Or let's get such and such. That's what they put up there a lot of times to try and because they want black folks' attention to be focused on that. They want it to be focused on there's a new civil rights struggle. There's a new such and such struggle as if the other one was complete and everything's good so we can move on to the next one. But you have two-thirds of black folks who that trickle-down civil rights movement never trickled down to them. And they just completely skip over that. They just say, okay, we just give you an EBT card and shut the fuck up.
And
that's the
thing,
basic attitude.
Another thing is that, see, there's a real reason why when we bring the discussion to nationhood, that you ain't going to get the support of black leaders. Black leaders is going to steer you away from that concept as much as possible. And the reason why? Accountability. See, if you in Congress or you in Senate, they got your record. They can see how you voted. They can see who owns you. See, in the black community, since we don't have any organized structure, you can just go out there and make all the promises that you want to and don't have to keep them, and you don't have no accountability. You can say anything. Say and do anything, and your money flow does not stop. So why would you want to get black folks in a situation where they can hold you accountable? So
and
you're never going to hear nation out of these Negroes' mouths. None of these Negroes. And I don't get, especially these Cornel West and all these people that everybody think is so impressive. That nigga ain't going to touch nationhood with a 10-foot pole.
You know, here's the thing, and it just feeds into this whole thing about in order to go ahead and justify your position, you go ahead and you being rich, you got to have poor folks.
Yep.
And it's simple as that. No analyzing no other way. It's just simple as that. We got to go ahead and keep, because Al Sharpton made his money, got on TV show talking about black issues. But I don't see him setting up no industry, nothing. He knows these problems still exist. He knows them problems are still there. And he ain't done, to me, done well. You can go ahead and see what
he set
Al
up
Sharpton
an industry.
He set up an industry called Al Sharpton Incorporated. Barack Obama for walking these goddamn streets in Chicago, know the fucking problem firsthand, and to me, he ain't done a damn thing.
Because they did set up an industry, Rob. They set up Barack Obama Incorporated and Al Sharpton Incorporated. That was the industry.
I guess you're right.
That's what the whole thing. That's why I never could understand why black folks. This is a like they say. Well, let's vote for Barack Obama so we can put him in office. And I was always saying the same thing since day one. Why? So he can have lifetime Secret Service and a pension.
Mm.
I mean, what is it doing for me? And I keep using this analogy over and over again, and I'll keep using it. If you come home, you got a wife. Picture you coming home to your wife and saying, listen, babe, I know I'm supposed to take care of this house and pay the rent and give you money and stuff like that, but my girlfriend is really having a hard time. And as soon as I take care of her and her situation, make sure she's right, I got you. Would that go down?
No. Nope.
Yeah, in our community, I've had arguments with black folks who telling me, well, you can't expect him to look out for our interests. So what the fuck am I voting for him for?
I can
visually see, oh, man, look at that guy. He's in office and he looks just like me. Let me go back to my box and sleep on the park bench. I mean, I've never seen a community where they will fight you if you say that the representative should actually represent them. That's an argument in our community. I've had fights with black folks. Oh, you can't expect him to look out for us. He's the president of the United States. He ain't the president of black people.
That's right, brother.
Well, then what
That's
the hell
right,
am I
brother.
Voting for him for?
That's right, brother.
You think any Jew is going to put another Jew in office if he don't ever represent Jewish interests? And then go, well, hey,
That's
guys,
right.
I know I'm Jewish, but, hey, you should be happy just because I'm Jewish. I know I can't
right.
do nothing for you as a Jew, but, hey, you go to sleep at night knowing that there's a Jewish man in office. Vote for me. And nobody does that shit. But in our community, it's looked at as logical. We just don't expect. I remember when the whole Reverend Wright thing, it's like the whole Barack Obama's campaign for running for office when he first ran should have been a picture of somebody going, shh, don't say anything because they might know he's black.
You know what, man? That whole Reverend Wright thing, man. I thought maybe he would have came out and said, you know, so damn what? So fucking what? Nope, he didn't. He made excuses. And
he's a politician, man. At the end of the day, think about it. I put this on a post on my Facebook page. You know how you know all politicians are crooks? Because who in their right mind is going to spend millions of dollars on a position that only pays
$100,000?
When you're running for president, you're damn near spending $1 billion.
Where are they getting that money from?
For a position that pays $250,000?
Well,
where are they getting all that money from? You know, and that was something else. You know, they collected all this money, the crime broke. All these neighborhoods need this cash, but they can't go ahead and put that in. I don't understand how you can keep on voting for these rich and extra rich people.
That's why, Rob, I came to the conclusion, like, is me personally, my role, what I feel that I can do, and I've tried to do this ever since I've gotten online. My job is to clown black leadership. My job is to show that these people are insignificant, that they are a cancer to our community, and to totally invalidate them in the eyes of the people. That's my – everybody has their work that they got to do. That's my job, to clown black leadership.
I love your job.
Because as long as we keep looking – to these black representatives, these black leaders, these preachers, whoever wants to sit up there and call themselves a representative of black people, as long as we're paying attention to them, we're going to stay stuck in the same situation that we are in. That's why I'm trying to get the focus on nationhood, socioeconomic and political control, and infrastructure. My whole conversation is based on that. Not go to this so-and-so's church, not follow this so-and-so leader. I could give a damn about any of them.
Brother, I commend your good work. I was just saying, I commend your good work, brother. And, you know, I see myself as similar. You know, we have to bring out these house niggas. We have to.
Right.
And we
That's
need
it.
Brothers like yourself and myself. And next week, Saturday, we're going to be having our monthly Let's Talk About Tommy Sotomayor night. Next Saturday, brother, you need to come through for that one. You know, I'm going to keep it going until that nigga calls in and we can ask him some questions, you see? Because I know he'll come through. Every month we're going to be going and talking about Tommy Sotomayor. That's on Carbon Radio, brother. So I'll tell you to come through.
Well, listen, I'm sorry I even mentioned that dude's name because I do not like giving Negroes free press. I mean, and I keep telling them, these people are putting this dude on the map, man, because what he's doing is he loves that shit, because every time somebody has a video with his name in it, he gets more people listening to him.
Right.
And that's why I even know about it, because I don't pay no attention to irrelevant Negro bull crap. If there's somebody out there talking about the black woman is a bitch and all this other stuff, and there's some black woman talking about how she love white men over black, who gives a shit? I could care less. These people are useless. They like fallopian tubes on a lesbian. Useless.
This brother's an avenue for that bullshit, though. He's an avenue for the black man who hates black women.
But you know what, son?
I'm going to tell
you this. There is no – he's not doing any movement. Because I've heard people say this, well, he's starting a movement. That nigga ain't starting no movement. Self-hating niggas is going to always attract self-hating niggas. And unfortunately, we have a high percentage of self-hating niggas out there. So it ain't like he's recruiting people over to the self-hating nigga cause. All he's doing is just attracting other self-hating niggas.
Yeah, it's really a self-promotion campaign where he's trying to promote himself to get some job on TV or something.
Yeah.
And it's going to work.
It's going to work.
Because a lot of people are tuning in, hating on something. It's a shtick.
It's a marketing ploy. And people
hey, Rob, what y'all talking about today, that black stuff?
I used to tell these sisters.
You got too much money.
How you doing?
Hey, brother, hold set. What do you think of the Million Youth March that they had in September? What do you think of that? I'm going to be discussing that on Friday. You should come through, brother. But what do you think of that Million Youth March?
You talking about that happening in New York, the New Black Panther Party was behind?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, yeah. What do you think about that, brother?
Honestly?
Obviously, brother.
I got to keep it real. I really don't think about it. I really don't. And I don't. I hate to be this way, but I got to keep it real, man. there's a lot of people in our community who's about self-promotion. And I don't see this movement in our community about bringing fractions and bringing different organizations and forming networks with each other. I don't see that happening on any grand scale. It's happening on a small scale. You know, mostly with brothers who get it, and if that's on a very small scale. But on any type of mass movement, like let's say on an Occupy level or anything like that, I don't see it. What I see is people out there doing their own thing, and they're not talking to other people and other groups and trying to form networks with each other. Because when you go to these organizations, what they're going to do is they're going to indoctrinate you into their belief systems. I don't give a shit about your belief system. I don't care about the – because we all live in the same fucking prison. We all live on the same plantation. We all get harassed by the cops. They don't care about our ideology. They didn't know what Trayvon Martin was or who he was, whether he was Christian or Muslim or whatever. They didn't give a fuck. They saw him as a nigger. And they look at us all the same way. So my thing is, it's just like in the movies, like when y'all can be fighting in your community all day long, when there's an outside threat, you're supposed to get together. You're supposed to put all your bullshit aside and get together to deal with the outside threat.
Yep.
But we still sitting here dividing ourselves over ideology and bullshit.
Yep, yes, sir.
Because I'm going to tell you, I love all my people, man. I have people who are Muslims. I have people who are Christians. I have people who are Hebrew Israelites, 5%ers, Moors. I love them all because they black people. They black African people. I don't give a fuck what they're calling themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see that sense of love from people. I see everybody going into their own little clique and their own little circle pretending like they got it all fucking figured out until the system points them out and attacks them. And then after they take them down, then now they're looking for everybody else to help them out. I'll give you a perfect example is what happened to Dr. York. Dr. York had a community. He had land. He was the man. But he had his own little section, his own little clique, and thinking that you are insulated from this system. The only way you can be insulated from this system is if you form a network and you consolidate with other people to protect yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're just sitting out there and it's just you, if the system singles you out and attacks you, then how don't you look hypocritical after they put your ass in jail? Now you going outside of your community, going to other black folks saying, well, listen, help me out. You see what they're doing to me? What kind of bullshit is that? Where was you? Why wasn't you reaching out when you had your community?
Which says that as long as you're ingrained in the system, the system can chew you up and spit you out.
Thank you, because you have no support system. You have no, see, people, we keep seeing these lessons. It happened with fucking Gaddafi. This nigga had an armed guard. He was the man, and what happened? This nigga getting his ass stomped out in the streets by the people.
I got one better, family. This is Robert X. And brother, whoever that was spitting it just a minute ago, I couldn't agree with you more. Let me give you a classic example on top of the examples you've already given. And I don't know who Tommy Sotomayor is, and I don't want to know.
Thank you.
Because I'm too busy engaged in the research. But I went to a meeting this past Thursday that was supposedly going to deal with the housing debacle. Here was the concept. They were going to take testimony from the various people who had problems with that system, the housing debacle. And based on those testimonies, they were going to take that to the United Nations. Now, I wear this X in honor of Malcolm, okay? Not because of the nation. You couldn't pay me and pour me on the nation, okay?
Malcolm's the deal. A hypocrite, brother.
For much of what the brother just got through saying in terms of people hiding in their own little cocoons and think that they have it all. I've been at it for 30 years, constant research. And these people are talking about going to the United Nations. If Malcolm was here today, there's no way in hell he would be talking about going anywhere in terms of the United Nations to basically rectify the system of white supremacy. I pointed out some things. There was no
integration, brother.
There was no question and answer.
It was integration, brother.
Let him finish. Let him finish.
There was no question and answer in the session. I knew all of the people on the panel. But to go to the United Nations, where the people who conjoined the meeting were, in fact, acolytes of Gaddafi. They were pro-Gaddafi. They had gone to Libya on several occasions and were looking to access certain funds from him. Now, as my memory serves me correctly, it was the United Nations that basically sanctioned the assassination of Gaddafi. Not just that, but if you look at things such as the Import-Export Bank, the TPP, the Agency for International Development, the Overseas Private Investment Corporation, the Import-Export Bank, the fact that the United Nations has been compromised in sterilizing women all over Africa and all over Latin America on a consistent basis, up to and including the vaccination program being fostered by Bill Gates today, okay? I might add, under the threat of arrest if the people do not take the vaccines. The point that I'm making here is you cannot be logical in an approach to dealing with a problem if you have to consistently go to your oppressor in the midst of overwhelming evidence that white supremacy is a permanent structure and it is not inclusive, of right. which the United Nations is a global white supremacist apparatus and cannot and will not address any issues having to do with African people by virtue of their complicity in the things I just talked about. I ain't even mentioning the fact that the NAFTA and GATT and all of these things, and Agenda 21, all of this stuff is coming out the United Nations. They're complicit in our situation. So why would you go to them? I tried to tell them the answer is stop complying with the system. If you want to have your issues addressed, you must remove yourself from the system en masse. And once you do that, without hollering and screaming and picking and marching, I guarantee you, you will get the attention of the powers that be, because the name of the game is to keep you in the system of white supremacy and not to allow you to get out. But once you turn your back on it, it has to address that, because other people begin to focus on what it is that you're doing.
I agree 100,000%.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what,
agree with certain things.
You know what? Can I interject?
Go on.
It's funny, and I want to say peace and love to the fam, peace and love to all my brothers who I'm very familiar with.
Hey, what's up, brother?
Nothing much, brother, man. I'm sorry I missed you, man. I'm back in Albany, so I'm going to have to catch you the next time I come down to Brooklyn.
No problem.
But what you call it? And what's amazing to me and what brought all of this into focus for me this week was this. You know, Brother Tim had, he'd been spazzing out on Facebook saying, like, oh, no, none of the black organizations is helping looking for this young brother that was missing, the autistic brother. So me being, you know, from upstate, I mean, not from upstate, but living in upstate, I had come down because my daughter had to have some physical therapy for a spinal situation she had. I was like, okay, I'm going to go to the therapy with her in the daytime, and then at nighttime I'm going to hook up with you. So I did. Man, brother, there was only 7 people. And the thing about it is that New York City, being 5 boroughs, Brooklyn, Queens, Manhattan, Bronx, you know, Staten Island, what have you, they have all of these black organizations. They have Nation of Islam, Black Panthers, they got this one, all of these organizations. And the missing child was not enough to bring those people out. You know what I'm saying? So I look at that and I say to myself, wow, back when I was coming up in the early 90s, you wouldn't even have been able to get a spot looking for this brother because all the organizations would have jumped on that and did that. Mm-hmm. So I guess the question that we really have to ask ourselves, which most of us know the answer is, why is there so much apathy within the construct of these current black organizations that, you know, they would not go look for a child that's one of their own, which is the bigger issue. Because what Brother Tim told me is that he had spoken to several people from, I won't mention in organizations, and they said, well, we got to get the word from the leader. What are you talking about? What do you mean you got to get the word from the leader? What's
brother,
more important?
You know, I've told Tim this, and it's no disrespect to Tim. It's just what it is. He don't have no money.
Got you. Got you.
Nobody ain't following Tim to no rally or something. He ain't, because that's where we are now. We're into a culture of celebrity.
That's right.
Jay-Z decided that he wanted to do a search for this kid. We wouldn't be able to find a spot.
That's right.
Yeah, these modern organizations are looking for image rewards or image awards and stuff like that. They're not really worried about dealing with the community.
And I question, like Brother Minister questions, I question whether that was the goal from the very beginning.
Right.
I think the very structure of these organizations has never been about that, because there's no way in hell you can have a problem existing for 60, 70 freaking years with thousands of organizations claiming that they're trying to solve the problem and the problem don't get solved.
Right.
It's a 160-year-old problem, brother.
Yeah.
And that's why every year, check it out. I did a thing just recently at the African Festival here in Chicago. It was called Free Slaves. And what we chronicled was the fact that somebody made a conscious decision, and we pointed out that it was the robber barons who decided that they would set up an educational system and make that house Negro the person that was in charge of the education. Those are historical facts. And if you chronicle and take a look at that particular system set up by J.P. Morgan, the Rockefellers, the DuPonts, et cetera, what you will find is a process creating free slaves, people who cannot understand that the process of living on a plantation in 1860 does not remove itself from living in segregated areas in 2013. It's exactly the same process. And if you think by way of them setting up educational institutions that was basically run by the House Negro, which gives us all of our leaders to this day, you'll be happy to relegate in a system of free slavery. And I'll tell you something else. You will not go outside of the boundaries that educational system has told you that you exist in, because it's reinforced 1865 to 2013 is your history. So once you begin your history vibrating at a very extremely low level in terms of the slavery narrative, why would you attempt to do anything else when you don't know that you did anything else? And to top all that off, there is a major movement globally to, in fact, prevent African history beyond 1865 from even being taught.
Wait, brother,
hey, Sheriff Rob.
In conjunction with what you're saying, I've taken a position, and I stand strong in this position. I take the position that just as you're talking about plantation politics and plantations, my position is the current dynamic of the black organization as a plantation, just like what you're saying.
Yes,
it's
sir.
It's a large, self-contained organization with black people that attracts black people from the lowest rungs of society and does not give them the knowledge, the wisdom, the understanding, and the inspiration to fulfill every last talent that they have, making them an asset to the building of a nation. So therefore,
right.
What happens is that there's a stirrup of the people and a stirrup of their emotion and hatred, because when you're on the bottom rung, you feel racism, white supremacy, you feel it more than anybody else. So you can get up in front of a brother or sister coming from a single-parent family that was making $20,000 a year and say, death to the white man, he didn't do this and he didn't do that, and they like to hear that because it's an answer to their frustration. However, most of the organizations have not encouraged these very same people. You know how you bring death to this society? You bring death to the society by mastering something so that you can pull some dollars away from them. They're not saying that kind of thing. And when you try to get them to say that kind of thing, they label you as a 10%er, or they label you as an elitist or whatever. They try to use a black leader that was light-skinned on you and say, oh, you're being like W.E.B. Du Bois. And it's like, listen, what we're saying is that there's a massive amount of poor people in all of these ghettos, and they don't have any freaking skills. So when you get them all together under one roof, what the hell are you going to do with them other than tell them to go out and preach the same hatred that you got?
Right, or create a welfare state.
Exactly.
That's right.
So when we sit here and we're talking about generational progress, am with Holick. My mission is the same as his in a sort of different variation, which is I want to expose the fact that you niggas have been out here for so many freaking years, and you have collected so much black talent and just thrown it away. And I won't, you know, I won't point to one specific organization, because to me it really covers mostly all of them.
Exactly.
Well, I can attest to the fact that I've been to like civic centers and you know, like whatever you want to call it, you know, whatever venue that you have, such as Madison Square Garden, filled up with black people, either with a suit and a bow tie on, or with a, you know, with the ancient African dress on, or with the Morris dress on, filled with these kind of people. And one out of every 15 people has some kind of skill that they mastered that can contribute to the building of a nation. Everybody else on the floor, you know, the other 14 men and women, they are struggling just to buy products from that particular venue. So the thing is that there's going to be more young black people that's going to join these organizations, and we're going to put them through what I call the black plantation car wash, which is they're going to come in, you know, with their mentality from the streets or whatever. You're going to wash them with the mentality of the plantation. They're going to come out and still be not no better than when they came in the first place.
Yeah, so they're going to be an old, cleaned-up car.
Exactly. And what I'm finding out, even like when I was out there looking for Avante, when I found out, I ran into brothers who used to be a part of this organization. It's like, and I said, well, what's going on in this particular city, brother? He goes, well, you know, this brother, that brother, they're not in there no more, but, you know, we all working. Like, that's a sign of the times. The sign of the times is everybody, because I imagine everybody on this phone, we're either in our 30s or our 40s. And the people that we grew up with that are part of these organizations, all of them is in the streets now. They may rep Black Panther, they may rep Nation of Islam, they may rep this one, they may rep that one, but they're all in the streets because they have gotten so freaking dissatisfied with what they didn't get in these organizations. They still maintain loyalty because the organization said the organization above might have gotten them off of drugs, might have gotten them off of alcohol, might have gotten them off this, that. So they remain loyal for that, but there was always that one missing thing that they couldn't get, and that to me, that one missing thing was is that the organization did not develop the talent. So it's in my judgment that if we're going to talk about generational progress and we're going to talk about any kind of organizing, any kind of whatever we talk about bringing people together, that discussion in the way of infrastructure, in the way of owning land or whatever, we have to include talent building and black people, because if we don't, then it's like we – As people who are on the right path and thinking the right way, we're going to make the same mistake as everybody. And I know you brothers are thinking like that, so I'm not basically talking about it because I vibe with all y'all and I know what your mentality is. I'm just saying that, like Brother Holler said, when you start talking about this right here, people get quiet.
Yes.
People want to challenge your knowledge of the lessons. They want to challenge your knowledge of Dr. York's holy tablets. They want to challenge your knowledge of the Bible and the Quran. But when you start talking nation building, everybody shuts the hell up.
That's right.
Because they know damn well that's the conversation they don't want to be. They don't want to have no parts of. And they say, "Well, this is how we build nation. We're going to bring you in. We're going to teach you your lessons. You're going to be a part." No, man, are you crazy? No, you have to earmark. You have to earmark a specific amount of money and time allotted to each particular person, and say, "What is it that you want to do?" No, we're not going to sponsor you going to school for business administration, and that's it, because that's the newest hustle, that people get loans and they go into all these trade schools and colleges for business administration, and then they come out and they open up a freaking cell phone store and it goes out of business within 3 years. No, we're not going to fund you doing that. We're going to fund you doing something that is tangible, that if we drop your black ass off in Russia, you'd be able to make money in Russia based on that universal skill that you got, knowing that if you have something like that, if we decided that, say, like, you know, the situation in Detroit, people want to buy up buildings in Detroit, and I'm down for that, but my question is, who is going to rehab and fix these buildings up? You're not going to get a mass amount of people out of the so-called Nation of Islam or any other organization to rehab these buildings because they don't have those people, man. They don't. So what they're going to do is 9 times out of 10, they're going to call on white folks to rehab these buildings, or they'll call on black people who don't agree with any kind of Pan-Africanist or nation-building kind of concept and say, here, come and rehab my building. And to me, that's some sorry bullshit right there, because you know something? If you're of the nation-building thought and idea process, nine times out of ten, you are doing your own thing and you may be working two or three jobs or you may have a business and another job or whatever. And when it comes time to own land or whatever, ain't nobody going to call on you to do that because everybody, like Caleb said, is in their own little fraction. So instead of calling upon you because you believe in this and that's contrary to what I believe, we're going to call some white folks to come and fix our buildings. So we're going to, and I just think, brother, it's hypocritical, man, for me to be a man in the trades and show up to a project that is a $2-3 million project. I'm the only black low voltage technician, and this other person is the only black electrician, and this other person is the only, and you know what I hate is in a construction site like that, you'll have like a whole bunch of carpenters. The black carpenter is the gopher. He's running around going to get coffee for the white people. He's running around and he's going to get food for them.
And loving
it. Garbage out. Exactly. Exactly. That it disgusts me. Because
but there's a way to get around it, brother. There's a way to get around all of what you're saying. Somebody mentioned earlier that when you go throughout the country, you find, and I have done quite a bit of traveling, you know, giving forums or lectures and things of that nature around the country over the years. One of the things that I find is that you will find groups of like mind everywhere you go. The problem is there's no organizational structures in place accommodate all of them working together. This
Thank
is why,
you.
After surveying the landscape of this, I've come to the conclusion that what we must do is to create corporate structures in all of these areas where we can do joint ventures that capital and go and rebuild Detroit. And there are, I go to Detroit more than any other place that I go, and I'm here to tell you, the people there are ready to do something, that small group. The problem is the other groups in the various cities around the country aren't associated or affiliated with them such that we can do these joint ventures and accommodate the things that need to be done all over the country. And more importantly, brother, to give our people the opportunity to change their environments. Because much of what we see going on in the black community all around this country is going to require that we change the environments, particularly of the young people, so that they don't get caught up in this madness.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes,
how do you propose that blacks are going to rebuild Detroit without working through the labor unions?
Brother, the labor unions are becoming obsolete.
To be
curious.
Not commercial.
Let me finish.
Not commercial construction unions. They're not becoming obsolete.
Let me finish.
Why? Because you have black because you have black unions too. You have black unions that hire black people.
No, but see, that's not the issue. The issue is, can we get it done building small businesses? That's the point. Can you get it done doing rehab? You don't need to deal with a lot of the big commercial construction companies. That's not a reality. We don't have to do that. We can look to open a moderate grocery store. Doesn't require. I'm just using that as an example. I know the grocery business. I know people that know it inside and out. But I'm just using this as an example. You don't need to go and hire the AAA construction firm to do the rehab on these places to open up these small businesses. You don't need – the Arabs didn't do it. The Asians haven't done it. What I'm saying is a lot of times we come up with obstacles to dictate why things can't be done and haven't done anything to prove that particular theory wrong. And we find ourselves getting caught up in this over and over and over in almost any area you choose to deal with. We say what we can't do before we even try. And that's that defeatist attitude that I basically don't allow to infect my thinking, brother.
Let me piggyback on what you're saying real quick, or veggie back, as they say, because I agree with you, and I just like to add. I think, honestly, you can circumvent the unions, but I do think that you would have to, if we was to do something like this, there's two things I'm going to say, and I'm going to shut up. If you was to do something like this, if you say like you was to go to Detroit and use a nationalist organization to buy buildings and rehab them and stuff like that, I think it could be done. However, number one, you definitely would have to have some kind of security on scene, because niggas from unions is kind of funny. Like, niggas from unions will show up and set fire to your stuff. You know, they'll steal your tools. They'll do anything they can to sabotage you when you're not union. And the worst part about it is black people in the unions think that they are part of it. They will do the same damn thing to you. So I think that if we were to do something like that, you would definitely have to have some kind of security on scene because of that. Number two, and I take this out of my good brother Kyle Genesis book, you know, you can attract black talent from nationalist organizations if you set up over there in Detroit and you started saying, here's the thing that the organizations have done for so many years that pisses me off. We're looking for your talent. We're looking for your lawyers, doctors. Call up the Nation of Islam. What do you mean call us up? Call us up for what? You got money for me? Do you have money for me? Because if you don't have money for me, what am I going to call you for? You see, there's a brother in the chat room right now posting stuff about sports. So I would use sports as an example. When you look at, you talk about college football. When you look at college football in the South, they pay assistant coaches and coaches way more than they pay any other coach in any other conference in the entire football organization, college football organization. And because of that, they get the better talent, they get the smarter coaches, and they win more games. For us to do something like this, I agree with you, brother. You should not go to a giant corporation or a big corporation. However, if I'm sitting here in upstate New York, and somebody calls me up and says, oh, Brother Delwood, how's everything going? I say, okay, listen, brother, I got something for you. I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse. I'm going to pay you, dude, I'm going to pay you $75,000 to come to Detroit, and I want you to wire up CCTV as well as access control in these buildings. Brother Delwood's going to get his black ass up and fly to Detroit and spend a year over there.
That's right.
Because that's it. You promising me $75,000, and you're telling me I'm going to be doing it for a black organization. I'm out. I got my bags packed. I'm leaving.
That's right.
My father was a businessman on Fulton Street for 24 years as a locksmith. He taught me so much about business that when I master my trade, you know, there's so much that I'm going to know. But one thing he told me is very simple. He said, son, when you deal with people, don't talk stupid. In
That's
other
right.
words, don't be like, come out here and help the black organization XYZ. Donate your time. Donate. This is 2013. Get the hell out of here with that donate garbage. Come through here. We're gonna hit you off with $75,000, or we're going to hit you off with such and such amount of money, and you come here, and you're going to get a quality job, so there ain't no feelings, because you know how black folks are. Black folks, you mean you come through and you shortchange black folks, they're going to give you a short, even if you give them good money, they might give you a shortchange job. But if you promise to give them what they do, they will be more than happy to come through. And in addition to that, after you call Minister Dowd or whoever it is that knows whatever and call them out there, we want you to bring two people with you that don't know what they're doing in your trade, and we want you to teach them while you're doing it.
That's right.
Is what is goddamn missing in black organizations. They're not thinking like this. And I have heard so many leaders over the years in the 90s talk about this kind of stuff, doing it. We all know who I'm talking about. We're doing it in Africa.
Because they're
doing it here. Africa, we're going to give you dual citizenship, and we're going to start apprenticeship programs so that black people can go to Africa. And it's just never materialized, brother.
That's right.
It will never.
Mm-hmm. Hold on. I heard a sister voice. I got to hear that voice.
Yeah, I was going to ask. Yeah, sister on the line, because I wanted to hear what she had to say.
Yeah, this is Ebony.
Ahead,
Empress. I wanted to say what I see in the UK, and I don't know if it's like that for you guys in the States, but I know for the last sort of 20 years or more, we've had black organizations here who have been promoting, you know, back to Africa and whatever. I have family who have gone to Ghana and lived over the last 20 years, and their dream of going back to Africa did not include an organization. They just decided as a family they would get together and they would go, and there'd be a home for anybody who wanted to go to Ghana in the future and set up home there. So, you know, most people I know who've relocated to Africa didn't do it through any Pan-Africanist organization, because a lot of those organizations, pure talk.
Yeah,
I absolutely hear that story, because I used to go to one, and you know what? There's more interest in hooking up with sisters, with your head, trying to get you involved in all sorts of shit that, you know what? The problem I see is that there are two things that need to happen in an organization, a black organization. First, if you're focused on the theory, the discussions about change, about changing your mindset, which is where, you know, the focus sometimes is, then do the mindset thing, but also have the other side, which is about helping you to grow business-wise, to feed your family. And
yes,
there isn't that balance that you find in those organizations, which is why I left a long time ago.
Yes,
so,
yes.
If you ever want to do any organizational stuff, I think it's fine, but you need people to be real about it. I have friends now, girlfriends, in fact, who are part of some of the organizations. I had to say to a sister the other day, who's been unemployed now for nearly a year and a half, and is still going every Saturday to her group, putting her money in there, doing the yes, brother, this, yeah, all that. And yet she can't feed herself from that organization. What the hell is that about? You know,
right,
she's got to find money. She's worrying about joining agencies to get jobs. I'm saying to her, then why isn't that organization helping you to feed yourself? There are over 100 or more people in there, all talking the talk, but doing nothing. Okay, if you're also part of that organization, why can't you find somebody who's like-minded for a relationship in that organization? Oh, yet the story she tells me, everybody's a waste. Why is everybody a waste? And you're all supposed to be conscious people, right? You get what I'm saying? Because people are looking for themselves, ultimately. There are people in there who are doing the lectures. They're benefiting. They're getting their money, whatever. But other people are starving. It's like a church. It becomes like a church. And that's another reason why I don't put my efforts into church, because a similar thing happens. Only certain people benefit. The rest of us starve, okay, because we're followers, we're not leaders. So we can't all be leaders. Some people need to be followers. I absolutely get that. But the leaders, if you're leading and you are leading in the way that you should be leading, then you should make sure the followers eat as well, okay?
Yes.
There needs to be programs in there that allow everybody to show the best of what they are. There, I'm sure if you did a skills analysis, there are already millions of skills within those groups. There are lots of skills that you can utilize. There's not even, there isn't really the necessity sometimes to go out and train people separately. What you need to do is to pull out the skills that are already there, because most of those people have probably been working for, community, public sector, for the last sort of 10, 20 years, and are using their skills to fund other organizations out there, because they're the people who pay them. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes, ma'am.
So, you will have those skills. So what you need to do is to tap into the skills, and then where the skill gaps are, to identify those and to build them through training development programs. A lot of free stuff out there. Now we're on the internet, and now we've got the global sort of infrastructure. There's so much we can benefit from social networking and media that we can feed into these organizations. So are we being smart? That's my question. Are we smart about how we want to develop? Are we still talking like we were in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s? Is that what's on? Come on, I think people need to wake up. Get with the times.
Can I make a quick point?
Yeah, go ahead, bro.
I promise you I won't be long. Organizations are, to me, the problem. I'm thinking nation.
Yeah.
Organizations cannot handle our problems collectively. We need a nation.
Right.
See, the thing about the United States is their government is paid for by taxes. They have the people funding them. You know what I'm saying? We don't have anybody that's responsible to us. So you can go out here and you can promise anything you want to, and you can use our people as cattle. So you can further your particular agenda, and then once you get your agenda served, you don't need them. It's just that Barack Obama's presidency is the perfect example of what I'm talking about.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That mobilized, black people was mobilized and excited, and they got him in that position, and now they're sitting back going, well, listen, we can't really expect him to do anything for us because we don't want anybody to know he's black. So then what the fuck was we out there for campaigning for this nigga for? It makes, that, it makes absolutely
no
sense.
Okay, when you say we need a black nation, what do you mean by that?
I mean a nation. We need a national structure with accountability.
That's right. Let me tell you how we can
organizations will not do it.
Let me tell you how we. Now, I agree. I agree with you 100%. Organization is the problem because organization has a leader. And that leader, he's spreading his vision. Like the Nation of Islam, I talked to him
about the other day. They haven't moved back to Africa yet. He's a multimillionaire. They haven't. They, he may have bought land, but where's the people that's coming out of Chicago that can go to Africa?
Thank you.
And go there and denounce it. Now, see, dual citizenship is funny to me because you're playing games. If you want to be an American, the reason why they say dual citizenship because it's benefits of being an American. They don't want to renounce themselves. They don't want to go to Africa and totally renounce themselves and say, I don't have nothing to do with American government no more. That's really you saying you getting out of this quote unquote white society, but they never do.
What you're
do
saying
it.
Is
why?
He will require.
Hold on. Let me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Let me say this real quick. Jews, they have Israel. That's dual citizenship. Okay, and they come back and forth and go and no problem here. And they go ahead and vote in elections here and go ahead and influence what's going on here over here. So
Mexican.
There is that's not playing games. Go ahead,
Mexican.
Do the same thing.
No,
as
no,
others.
No, it is playing games. No, I'm not forget the Jews. I'm talking about you. If a black man said this country is total crazy and he wants to go back to Africa and build his nation, look, I understand you take your money, you save up, and you can round up to say, why are you trying to act like somebody else?
Well, let me
because
add this. Let me add this.
And I'm saying this. The only reason why the Jews may have dual citizenship is because there has to be some type of benefit of being an American.
But that's,
if
that's
not,
let me go back.
You can renounce yourself.
Let me go back to what I mentioned earlier about once you've been educated by a system that says your history only began in 1865 and you incorporate that construct and you perpetuate it every year, you go from 1865 in February to 2013 and not beyond that, as if you fell out the sky in 1865. All y'all know what I'm talking about.
But brother, let me address that.
Well, I need to learn about
hold on, hold on.
And,
let me finish.
And high school,
let me finish.
What you're saying is 100% true.
Let's talk about
true.
The structure about this. No, about the 1860s. That's not. And our public schools here in our nation, they teach about slavery. Now, whether they teach about slavery
or
someone
saying.
Else.
Right,
before
1865. Here's what
I'm saying. My point is, why is that even relevant?
Not,
because everybody on this phone knows where our history is, and it ain't. I doubt
exactly.
Very seriously there's one person on this phone that thinks it started in 1865.
But brother, don't assume, please, don't assume that people outside of this conversation, and we see
I know they don't. I'm not making an assumption. I know for a fact
right.
They don't.
No,
what
no.
I'm saying is the problem
saying.
Isn't the people who don't know. The problem
exactly.
Right now is the people who do.
Who knows?
If the people in Baltimore, Maryland, that don't go to school, if they go to school, I don't know. The high school will teach you about African slavery, the slavery trade, and all that before 1865. All schools do that.
I went to school right here in Chicago, and I never learned anything.
I think we're getting off track.
I think we're getting
off track.
We're
getting off track. Because my problem is, we're not dealing with the uneducated people that don't know they're going to be there. I understand that. My problem is the people who know, the people who have this information and know all of this stuff. What are we doing?
Okay, well, let me finish the last point here, because one of the things that one of the brothers and the sister was speaking about was, and in fact goes to what you were just saying, brother, is that you got people out here who do know, and they haven't been able to put it together. I'm going back to this corporate thing, because as you outlined quite clearly, we need a national/international institutional structure devoid of personalities dictating the movement. All of you know that research and development is the primary component in any corporate structure. If it's going to go anywhere, it's going to be based on research. What we have to do, from my estimation, this is just my research, is to take the various small corporate structures that institutionalize around the country and build from that each particular CEO of those small organizations, facilitate a larger overall corporate structure where there's unity among this giant body. You follow what I'm saying?
I sure
right.
do.
Stockholders, basic stakeholders.
Exactly.
Stakeholders. I understand
let me finish your last point. This is the last point, then I'll be quiet. You cannot hold leadership accountable that's only accountable to 10 or 15 people or 1,500 people. Those people, those so-called leaders, are going to dance to the tune of the people that basically patronize them. And I ain't mad at them. What you have to be able to do to have proper leadership is to have from that structural base, the people decide who they want with the board of directors or the council of elders, which is the term I choose to use from an Afrocentric historical analysis, with the council of elders dictating one from among them to, in fact, be the spokesperson for African people around the country, as opposed to people being picked by foundations, white supremacist political institutions that basically have not served our need. I'm through with it.
Could I say something?
Well, you have to delete the leader.
That sounds like model cities, which failed tremendously.
Because it was government controlled and government oriented.
It still would be government controlled because you're gonna have to get some. But if you got blacks that's inspiring to control a portion of the black community, then just go ahead and do it. All blacks is not gonna consider themselves.
I'm not talking about all blacks. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the conscious community. Am I correct?
That's what I'm talking about.
Well, the conscious community is not big enough in order to support a grocery store in most areas.
See, you can't say that, brother, because you don't know. I'm talking about nationally.
I've been watching this for over 40 years, man.
So have I.
And I'm saying that if it's nothing stopping you from doing whatever you want. You got 12 different black markets. Population markets here in this country. Most of them are down in the South. There's nothing keeping a contingent of black cartel from putting things together and controlling the segments or trying to control all that market. Nothing whatsoever. All the components exist. Just do it.
I agree with that. And that's exactly what we're doing. And I'm going to tell you, the chief stumbling block has been, and all of you will agree, trust. We must have people in positions of authority that we can trust, but we also must have the systems in place to accurately and correctly punish those people who violate the trust. That's what's been missing.
Well, like I said before, you're going to have to put all that together. People are not going to volunteer. You're going to have your own like mind and put that together. Everything that's black in America is not black. But it's one thing that's particular that you find blacks that's congregated in large population centers. Arabs don't come in here and go through all those different rigmaroles of control those markets that's in those black centers. The Somalis up in north in Minnesota have created their own banks, housing systems, businesses. They just as black as Wesley Snipes. Just do it.
In the next 3 generations, if it's that long, every ethnic group, Mexicans and all others, once they become Americanized, they will begin to act just like black people. That's the nature of this country. They will begin to turn on each other because that's the conditioning process that America sends you through. They will groom another set of Arabs that act just like white folks, and they will market those Arabs who act just like white folks to other Arabs and show them that with the removal of your culture from you, these are the rewards that you get. Marketing is a very, very powerful tool, extremely powerful. So,
well, you know, yeah. I was at a meeting, an event, an Asian event. It must have been at least 200, 300 Asians at that event, and not one of them had less than $250,000 in cash assets. Those people are doing things. Here in West St. Louis County, Arabs had bought up a tract of land. A tract is like 40 blocks square with a big mosque in the center of it. They control everything that goes around in that area. They're doing the same thing in Dearborn, Michigan.
How did they do that?
How did they do it?
Yeah.
They set their mind to say, this is what we're going to do. They sat down, probably had a meeting. That's what they done. They have a group of Arabs here. They got a group of Arabs here in the St. Louis area that meets every Sunday or periodically, and they have a big tub in the center of the floor. And those business people walk around that tub for a length of time and throw money in it. At the end of it, the person that convened the meeting points to one and say, you take this and go open up that business at such and such a location. And when you are profitable, pay it back.
Can I just make a comment? And I'm not going against anything that's being said. I agree with mostly everything that's been said. But what I find interesting, and I'm not talking about the brother just got finished talking, but this is a dynamic that I've been confronted with. We talk about these groups who do this and do that and how they're successful in this, but one of the things that people fail to mention is these groups are very ethnocentric.
Homogenous.
But this is the point. When I talk about black folks being African-centered, I get heavy resistance.
That's
but yet
right.
Those same people expect us to operate like ethnocentric groups.
That's right.
That's a contradiction.
Exactly.
You can't say we can't be African-centered and then expect us to act like the Chinese and the Koreans, who are heavily ethnocentric. You go to a Chinese restaurant, you don't see no Rastas, no Jamaicans there. And nobody even questions it. Is there any diversity in a Chinese restaurant?
No, sir.
Well, you know,
is there anybody
show
else
this
other than Chinese working? So my thing is, if that's the example that we are supposed to be following, then let's not do it halfway. Let's follow it.
Let me give you an example of some black Muslims that's doing it. I was on a show this morning with a brother out of New York. And he was talking to a brother down in Atlanta who's raising cattle per the, and somebody helped me with the word, halafa method.
Halal.
Yeah.
Halal. They're providing beef for the markets that this brother has in Brooklyn to target the Muslim market. And they also are doing it in North Carolina. And I gave him the name of a brother who's a trucker out of North Carolina, Brother Benny, because they want to have trucking from Atlanta along the eastern seaboard up into Brooklyn. These brothers are doing it. They see an opportunity, and they're doing it based on their recognizable religious affiliation, that being Muslim. Now, Benny is not a Muslim, but they told me, it don't make no difference. If he can provide us with the service, we will use it. So people come up with these ideas. Just do it.
I agree. But what the brother was saying cannot be minimized in terms of operating from...
Well, see, a lot of...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Because everyone wants to define these young people, African-centric, you're supposed to wear this culture. Let's just make money. To all of this culture stuff, all of this, you should give your African heritage and stuff. People don't want to go through that because a lot of people...
Nah,
like
man,
say,
I ain't getting down with that.
But listen,
me either, brother.
I know that, but listen to what Bianca said. But see, sir, everybody, first of all, it's collective. Everybody does not have to have your African-centric mindset that you have. That's the first thing.
What does African-centered mindset mean to you?
I'm saying the picture of it is that you want me to go to some old tradition.
No.
Old
wrong.
That I'm
you don't know your history, brother.
Wrong.
That's why you're using those terms.
See, hold up.
But you're wrong.
Okay, so
what you just said right now is totally wrong, son.
Okay, so when you say that you want people to be more African-centric, American, me a black American, you say that I'm supposed to be want my culture and become more African. What do you mean? And I'm gonna
what I mean by this is I use the example of what is African culture. I have it on my video. Amos Wilson had the best explanation for what African culture is. African culture
works in
the interest of African people. That's what African culture is.
That's right.
Yeah, but you know
anybody pointing to some clothing or some food and all of that bullshit, that is not what African culture is.
So if I could respectfully reply to that,
food is a part of culture. So if it's not the clothes, it's not the food, what is it then, sir?
That does not represent culture itself. People are culture.
I know, but hold on. People are culture. I mean, everybody's culture. But there's things are part of them. You can identify them, the clothes that they wear.
No, hold on, Mike.
It's about their ethnicity.
Mike, will you hold on? It ain't about the food, the color, or what you have on the outside. It's what's on the inside. Okay? It's totally
right.
What's on the inside. All that other bullshit is just that. That stuff is to make money with. It's what you have on the inside that makes you African. You get me?
He asked me a question. Can I answer it?
So I'm going to ask you, what do I have to inside for you to say, Michael, you're African? What do
how
I have
you
to
love yourself,
inside?
How you treat yourself, and if you don't go ahead and treat yourself the way the Europeans treat themselves.
Can I answer that question?
Because
it's really simple to answer. Why is it that just by you being who you are, that can't be you being African? Why is it that, so in order for you to be African, you got to put on some dashiki? You got to put a dashiki on, you got
to
eat some couscous?
If you say, Michael, I want you to be yourself, Michael, right, and I say I am myself, and I say don't label it, why are you labeling me African?
Because I agree with all facts, man.
This is why the kids in the hood and the saggy pants, they're talking just like you, and they're too, sir. Some
blacks
don't
in
believe,
America.
You know what? I don't want to vote. I want to go back to Africa. Should I stay here? So, look, most of the drug dealers says, I don't want to work for the white man, and they sold drugs. I'm from the hood, bro. I'm from Baltimore, Maryland, East Baltimore. I know my people. And I'm saying the same thing. The only thing I'm saying is
a segment
we
of the
all
people.
That stuff.
Oh, your
we
people.
Have to have
you don't. You don't know. You
all right.
So
then, let me get this straight. Let me finish this. Let me see if I got this.
What do you mean? I don't know.
I just want to make sure that I'm getting this clear. I just want to make sure I'm getting this clear. So what we supposed to do is not identify culturally at all. We're just supposed to operate off of money. And we're supposed to operate the same as the Chinese do, the Koreans do, and all of these people who have a ethnocentric culture do. But we're supposed to behave and operate just like them minus culture. All right.
Well, that ain't what he's saying. But
you, when you come to a young person, they're going to ask you what culture, and you still haven't described it. And you said being myself.
I did describe it to you.
And the culture of the people
that we call blacks here in America is American culture. They are not Africans. They are Americans.
And changing them to Africans is not going to work.
They are Americans. I've watched for 40 years, watched people, a group try to change black Americans into being, they don't want to be African.
Did they change them into Americans?
What they are is an ethnic market that we don't control.
Our people were what? Did our people sprout up out of the ground in America?
I don't care
Americans?
If they came from the sun. They are still Americans. And that's where you waste time trying to convince people out of who they don't want to be.
But our people historically have always been American?
Speak for yourself, bro.
We're not talking about history. We're talking about in 2013. If you go out and start something tomorrow, you are dealing with black Americans.
Okay.
It's like some people suffer. Live in the now.
You're dealing with Africans
in
America.
No, you're not dealing with no Africans in America. They are black Americans. Unless they say they are, then they are considered as black Americans.
Was there a slave trade, or does that not exist?
I said in 2013.
No, I'm talking about was there a slave trade?
We all know the history.
Existed?
Yes, there was. But
so then how is it we not African? There was also
an Italian, but they consider themselves as being Italian American.
When do
but
we
blacks
stop being
in America
African?
Consider
exactly.
themselves
what year did
as
we
being
stop
American.
Being African?
Excuse me. The brother who's talking Afrocentric brother. This is Robert X. Can I have some way to contact you?
Sure, are you in the chat room?
No, I'm not in the chat room.
I'll connect you. Don't worry.
Okay, excellent. And the other brother in Britain.
Brother?
I'm assuming that the brother's in Britain.
No, that's not him.
That's Supreme.
Okay,
Supreme is in the UK.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
that's all facts talking.
Okay, well,
facts in Chicago, I think.
No, he's not.
Okay, I guess what
Malcolm said wasn't true. Like, if you do put chicken, if a cat does have kittens in the oven, those kittens are definitely biscuits.
But you might not want to bite into it, brother. You check those biscuits.
Those are definite biscuits.
You might not want to bite into it.
You put a log in water, it becomes a crocodile.
brother, I don't care what you build, and this is what's really interesting. The brother's in the construction, I can't remember the brother's name, but the brother's in construction, so he knows the relevance of having a proper foundation before you build anything. And for you to espouse that the foundation of African people, which is a very negative one, our foundation should be built on negativity, I guarantee you it will not stand a week. Why is African history so important? Because you can't pick up a computer system and not see African history in it. You would not have the whole notion of mathematics and quantum mechanics, which white scholars today are saying has its direct root in African history. That's why they're outlawing African history.
You know what John Henry Clark said about that?
Let me finish, brother. You can't go to any area of relevance in America and Europe today, from the building trades to the technological apexes, and not find the African origin in it. Those are facts. That's why it's important for African people to know their history, and more importantly, to know the people who stole it and why they stole it.
Well, you know, a few minutes ago you was talking about business. Now you're talking about history.
Brother, because they go hand in hand.
Listen. John Henry Clark said blacks built pyramids, but what are they building today? The majority of black people do not want to know about that unless you have
black
it in a school system.
Put
it in a school system and teach it to the children.
You
have a council of independent black institutions, then do it that way. You can't put it in public schools.
Conveniently, like, are we going to connect with Africa? Are we not?
I'm not talking about business.
Then don't claim nothing that happened in Africa. Don't claim
and don't
that.
Don't speak for all African people.
I thought you were talking
people,
about
brother.
Business.
Don't speak for all African people.
Let me make a point here. Tell me, I like the word, Bianchi, this is to you. Tell me why, and Mike, tell me why blacks in America don't want to go ahead and be called African, because here's the problem that I'm having. You want to go ahead and connect with America, and America don't want you here.
You'll never be an American.
Why do you keep on holding on to a system that don't want you here? They've shown you from today, 2013, that they don't want you here. They showed you that 10 years ago, 20 years ago, they don't want you here. So why are you still holding on something they don't want you here? Shouldn't you go ahead and have that dual citizenship? That part I don't understand. I can agree with a lot of stuff that was said, but when you go ahead and say, basically you're telling me that I shouldn't have a connection to Africa, I should let those other people keep on having their connection to Africa.
Going to be no fucking imitation white person, and I will not spit on my ancestors' memories by claiming to be American. Yeah, they will never get me to claim that shit.
Blacks here in the United States, the United States citizens, man.
The people who espouse that kind of thing are historically ignorant, and they refuse to go back and study the history because they will have to change. They cannot continue to spit out that madness.
Well, I don't think it's anybody here on the show knows the history
right?
better than I do, but
listen,
I'm telling you this,
listen,
is
well,
that blacks,
that,
what you call blacks here in the United States or United States citizens?
But do you know that quantum physics and metaphysics are one and the same thing, and that African culture was based on a metaphysical principle?
You know, we were talking. Nobody disagrees what Africans have contributed to the world.
That's not what I'm
but
talking about.
But in 2013,
listen.
2013 today, the quote unquote that you call blacks are United States citizens. And they are not going to give that up.
No, sir, brother. They are de facto citizens.
What kind of passport do they carry?
Just a little piece, okay? Just a little piece. Okay, can we have that, please?
Oh, Lord.
I just wanted to say the reason why the black Americans are not going to give that up is the same reason why people want to go back to Africa and they still want to have
that
dual citizenship.
Here's my problem when I keep hearing that. You did not take your clipboard. I tell people when they say that the Africans don't like you, you wouldn't go from New York to California, from Washington State to Florida, and ask every black person. So don't go ahead and say, tell that, talk about the people that you know.
No,
about yourself.
No,
not
just that, brother. No, not just that, chef. I'm going to talk about this whole country. I know people who go to Africa.
Listen,
I know people who go to Africa on a consistent basis. And let me tell you something. They're not being confronted with any kind of hatred from Africans and on the continent. So
this whole notion that somehow, brother, you got to
let me finish just the statement, then I'll be quiet.
Brother, I haven't even spoken 5 minutes. I listened to you for 3 hours, sir. I haven't even spoke 5 minutes. I listened to you 20 minutes.
Okay, go ahead, brother.
I just want to
go
say
ahead,
this,
brother.
Sir.
Go ahead, brother.
Listen, there is more. I don't have to name all the people. There are more Africans. African is a continent, not a country. So you have many countries in Africa.
No
so,
kidding.
No, African, all of those people, there are more people who are trying to become African, natural-born Africans who are trying to come over America to be national American citizens, and there are people leaving America trying to be Africans. That's a fact. I don't have to do a poll.
Ain't no damn
brother,
fact. I'm
going to
shut
that.
Your ass down
now,
with
now,
that
let
bullshit.
Me
Mike,
let
come
me,
on.
Let me finish.
Stop that.
Yeah,
no. You're not going to tell you. What did I say? When you go ahead and take a clipboard and you go ahead and conduct your poll from east to west, then you can say that because you cannot speak for everybody. Right now, you're on this line. You're on the show.
Well, listen, Rob.
Okay, guys.
Didn't the U.S. Census give you choices to identify with? And I didn't see they had those that we recognized, and you had those that was considered as other. There wasn't many other where blacks in America, United States citizens, was calling themselves Africans.
Don't speak for the masses. Unless you got the masses over there with you, or right there with you on the line with you, you speak for them. But don't speak for everybody. You can't do
that.
Can I get a word in here? Let me just finish this one little thought, then I'm gone.
The reason the African people are leaving the continent is because of systems run by Europeans, Britain, France, Belgium, Germany. Let me finish. The reason that the African people are leaving is because of those systems that are set up where they put in place neo-colonialist Africans since the African Liberation Movement in the 60s. Many of those people are still there to this day, and they've signed on economic agreements that basically limit the movement in terms of economic production of African people, forcing them off the land where they have to migrate to other countries. This is what's going on. And if you don't understand
let me finish, Robert. What country in Africa is apartheid? Unbelievable. You can go to Zimbabwe and get all the land you want. Do what you're talking about. What country in Africa is under apartheid rule right now?
Name one African. South Africa. Blacks done a documentary called Blacks Without Borders.
And blacks are doing great business in South Africa. They just need more.
Can I say something?
Hey, Rob, you know something, brother?
Rob, can you tell me
what I'm talking about? See, this is the problem, Rob.
I think it's so interesting that the first bit of the conversation I heard you guys talking about was about unity and building businesses and getting together and getting ourselves into gear. And I just think it's interesting that the conversation has now digressed to the problem why a lot of the things that we say we want to do together as a unit, as people moving forward, you know, that the reason is because a lot of it is about we lack identity. We can't even agree on identity.
Exactly.
We can't even agree that, you know, at the end of the day, okay, a lot of the BS that you're talking about and arguing about, we, if there had been no slavery, we would have still been in Africa. We have that connection, whether we like it or not, that's historically where we started, okay? Now, some people might want to say, now I'm a British citizen or now I'm an American citizen. It's all a load of BS. It's a choice you want to make about where you are right now. Some people want to recognize themselves where they started, and I choose to do that. I'm one of those people. I don't have an issue with whether I'm an African or a British person. I was born here, but this is where I'm born by chance, by default, because of history. This is not where I, you know, historically my people started. So I claim that link back to my origin because I think that's the strongest link I could have. That's where my strength is. That's where it lies. I don't have any.
It's logical.
So when you wanna argue against yourself, I don't get it how you're arguing against yourself. You know, I don't understand that. It's just so I don't know. I don't know why you guys would need to even argue about the issue.
I can tell you why, Queen.
The conversation, the conversation, like you said, Ebony, was on business.
Now, I get ready to start talking, and then the brothers just, you know, come on, man.
Brother, you've been talking for the last 2 hours. The last hour, at least. I've been listening to you.
I haven't even said nothing. It's a total 5 minutes. All what I said, it hasn't equaled 5 minutes.
Go ahead, both of you, go ahead.
Let me finish saying what I was going to say. Ebony, you are absolutely right. The conversation was about business. If you don't, you know, you don't have to do. You got black markets in this country, Atlanta, you know, Philadelphia, your Mississippi, where you got 37% of the population is black. You don't have to convince these people out of who they are. Just go there and take control of segments of the market. And here's another point. Blacks born in America are American citizens. Yes, they can argue on their, and many of them can argue their African heritage, but they also can argue their European heritage.
I ain't got no
You don't
European
believe me? Ask Muhammad Ali.
I ain't got, I'm going to use a jargon of the ghetto. I ain't got no European heritage, but the other brother who made the comment from the beginning, if you want to go on and talk, go ahead and talk. I'll just be quiet and listen.
No, well, I'm saying, listen, sir, what you've been saying, I'm almost 40 years old, and I've back
I'm
to 60. Ask you, well, okay, I understand that, okay? I've been hearing it for all this go back and listen, and I'm looking at my city, Detroit, all the cities, and nothing has gotten better. And the only thing I'm saying is that we are part of the people of my skin color going back, trying to define, am I African? What's my culture? What's this? I'm just saying there's going to be a little bit of resistance because it comes from right religion, just like the Muslim society. Muslims in the ancient times, they were scientists. They were the business owners. Throughout the wars, when they went back and got out of their land, the Europeans came and took over their land. They went back home. They stopped being physicists and scholars because they were the first. I agree with that. But they kept on going with their religion, and they slowly, over time, fell back from the Europeans and other societies, as you can clearly see how they lived, certain societies. If it wasn't for that oil under that ground, under their feet, it would be totally different. The only thing I'm saying is, sir, is when you're trying to get us together, I understand we want to be, don't come from the foundation of this Afrocentric. Come from the economic sense that, listen, you need to feed your family in America. I need to feed my family. If we want to build our money, because the American dollar, it spends all over the world. If you take American dollar and you take it to Africa, it's going to 20 times it. So don't say that this government is all bad. When I hear people now, say dual citizenship because they're saying is a benefit for this country, the only thing I'm saying is while we here now, instead of focusing on the history, because you only got to tell my history once, we have our kids are thinking that the Europeans just came to Africa and took all the slaves. They didn't have no help from the kings and nothing. It's totally
oh, man.
And listen, and our history is totally distorted. Hold on. We have two different curriculums because our kids are confused. They don't know what happened. Only thing I'm saying is if we live in the now, listen, see, you're laughing about
my,
yo, forget my, the history. If
just
we live in the now, Hold on. If we live in now and look where we are now and say, listen, I understand my history. I know where I am at now. I look around me and I have to get better. I can't keep on going back in the past because I'm living in the past. I'm just saying, look where we can fit in, where we can get in now in America and build our thing, just like Bianca is saying. Let's do it. But this movement, oh, this white man, or oh, we got to go back to Africa. I've been doing the same thing in look at Chicago. I'm saying
now,
that. I'm saying the same weather because I'm hearing.
Can me and the nationalist brother say something now since we listen to the opposing point of view and the queen? Can we say something? Because we listened, didn't we, brother?
Yeah, we did. But I just want to ask Mike a quick question. Mike, why would you claim a country over a continent?
You say what?
Why would you claim rights to a country over a continent?
Because that continent has many countries. Because I'm not claiming nothing,
I'm just
right?
Saying,
if I claim Africa, which country am I talking to?
Are you claiming America?
Continent, right? You're not claiming a country. America's just, compared to the continent of Africa, right? America can be swallowed up. I'm just saying, would you not go for the continent where you have natural affiliation, you have historical links? Why are you fighting that over something that, you know, is far inferior? I don't get it.
Because, no, it's not inferior. See, that's the problem. No culture is inferior. No culture is higher. That's the problem. I don't have no bodies. And what I'm saying is, let's say if I go to my roots and they believe in voodoo. I don't want that voodoo culture, me personally.
Unbelievable.
I don't want to go with that because, yes, I mean, there's some types of that culture that I say, hold up, I don't agree with. I don't agree with that.
Mike,
and
you just
frightening.
Can I
say something?
Can I ask
Mike
a question?
Call. Culture means call. It's a religion. It's like a religion.
Can me and the other nationalist perspective-oriented brothers say something now?
I don't even want to talk. I just want to ask Mike something. Mike, can you hear me? Can you hear me, Mike?
Yeah, I'm listening. I'm quiet.
Do you have a pen?
I have my computer right here. I'm in front of my computer.
If you go on YouTube, I want you to look up my channel. Let me spell it out because it's a whack, wild name. It's Mr. MR, H as in Harry, O, L as in Larry, I, P as in Peter, S as in Sam, and then the M at the end for Mark.
Okay.
Mr. Holipsism. Just connect with me on there. I'm not even going to talk. I'll let the other people talk.
Is that brother, the Holipsism? Is that Mr. spelled out completely or
MR? No, just MR. MR and Holipsism.
Okay.
Mr. Holipsism.
Okay. Well, let me say something, brother, because, see, man, you know, with all due respect, and, brother, I was laughing because I have a tendency to laugh when I hear people propagating the same things that the white people say about African people, much of which has no basis in fact, okay? It's